Our gospel lesson is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, beginning at verse 38. You'll find this on page 525 in your Bibles. This is one of the great stewardship texts. It always lands in this season and is often lifted up. This widow is lifted up as a role model of giving. We're going to think a little differently about her when we get to the sermon. But hear the word of the Lord, beginning at verse 38. As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplace and have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O God, open our eyes to see you, our ears to hear you, our minds to know you, our hearts to love you, and our hands to serve you. Amen. There's an old Seinfeld episode in which George Costanza frequents a takeout pizza place. It's the kind with the tip jar right by the cash register. And what he does is he always puts a dollar in the tip jar when he goes there for a piece of pizza. But every time he's ready to place the dollar in the tip jar, the cashier just happens to turn away and never sees him actually do it. So this infuriates George, as you can imagine. So he keeps returning to the pizza place, and he takes his dollar, and with great flourish for everybody to see, places it in the jar. But of course, the cashier just keeps turning away just at the right time and never sees him do it. Finally, his frustration gets the better of him, so he actually, after having done this, he actually reaches back in because he wants to take out his dollar and do it again, and as he's reaching in to take his dollar back out of the tip jar, of course, that's when the cashier turns around and sees him stealing from the tip jar. We're a little bit like George, I think. We want to be recognized for our good efforts, right? It does feel better when the cashier sees you drop the money in the tip jar. Well, the religious professionals in our reading from Mark today might have all been named George for their ostentatious displays of look at me religiosity. And then contrast this with the widow who puts in two coins. All she had to live on, we're told, quietly, without fanfare. Typically, this episode is called, or you might remember it as being called, the widow's mite, M-I-T-E, the widow's mite, which comes from actually the King James version of the Bible, which translates two coins as two mites that make a farthing. Well, when we are honest with ourselves, when we tell the truth, few, if any, of us are in the same position as the widow, actually, giving the last of her coins to an institution that she trusts, to her God in whom she hopes. We do gladly offer up portions of what we have, certainly. But after some careful calculations, managing the risks, of course, There's no way, though, that we are contributing our all, and we likely never will. More often than not, we let go of what we have only with guarantees in place, or after establishing fair transactional principles, or after determining that our money will be well spent and to our approval. In the end, none of us wishes to be this widow. Because after all, we know well too well the status of widows in the ancient world. None of us desires to be alone and destitute and dependent on others. And besides that, she's willing to give what little she has away, and we know all too well that that is something we are not going to do. So what if the widow's mite is not just two coins, but is a mite, M-I-G-H-T, strength, born of faithfulness and dependency? I witness the power of this faithfulness and dependency in God and the church on Friday. A month ago or so, there was a young man in Acton who had what was likely a psychotic break and attacked his parents in their home. His mother, Carol, lived, while his father, John, did not. Friday, I went to John's funeral. And it was clear through the service, through the pastor's sermon, through Carol speaking to the packed church, that this church isn't just holding Carol, but this church is holding her together. Or more specifically, it is the place where she is being reminded minute by minute that she is held in the hand and care of a God who is more powerful than the tragic death of her husband and fate of her son. She is at the same time faithful and dependent on her church. Because even the best friends in the world cannot provide the peace that is needed in the face of such devastation. For my friend Carol, for veterans who suffer PTSD, for peoples who are oppressed or marginalized, we need more, and we are given more. As those who know Jesus, we are given the gift of God's grace and strength and forgiveness and courage and all things needed. There's an old story about a wise woman who was traveling alone in the mountains. One day as she was crossing a stream, she looked down and saw a precious stone glittering beneath the clear water. And so she bent down, she picked it up, and she dried it off with her shawl. She examined it carefully and realized its value and put it in her bag. Well, the next day she met another traveler who had run out of food a day earlier and was very hungry. And so the woman offered to share her food with him. And when she opened her bag to take out some food, the hungry traveler saw the precious stone. Impetuously, he asked her to give it to him. "Can I have your stone?" And without hesitation, the woman reached back into her bag and gave it to him. Well, the hungry traveler finished his meal with her and left quickly, amazed at his good fortune. After all, he knew the value of that stone. It was worth enough to keep him in comfort for the rest of his life. But then, after a few days, the man went and sought out the woman again, and finding her, he told her that he had to return this stone to her. "I've been thinking," he said, "I know how valuable this stone is, but I'm giving it back to you in the hope that you will share with me something even more precious. Please share with me whatever it is that you have inside of yourself that enabled you to give me this precious stone." It's a nice story, isn't it? But this wise woman is still a little too much like the widow. And like the widow and her, we are not that generous. And we probably won't ever be. More realistically, we are the hungry traveler. We might or might not be hungry for food as he was, but we are certainly hungry. And in this way, we are like the widow, faithful and dependent on others. And just like the widow, Jesus sees us. He notices us amidst the big crowds. She is not, in the end, an object lesson for churches to bring out at stewardship time, but she is a person. Easily unseen, easily invisible, and yet worthy of Jesus' attention. It's the same with each of us. No matter our status, our wealth, we have days, and some of us have many of them, when we feel invisible, we feel unremarkable, not worthy of attention. And yet Jesus also sees us, deems us worthy of God's attention, and frees us to give the same compassionate regard then to others. The widow's might is great indeed. It's a might greater than power, a might greater than the most beautiful sanctuary, a might greater than the most splendid displays, which are mostly privilege in disguise. Because the widow's might, M-I-G-H-T, the widow's might is God's might. It's a might known in love and loyalty, in grace and giving, independence and dedication. Her two coins won't make an impact on the temple budget, but they make all the difference for her. You see, her two coins meant that she had trust in God, her family, her friends, her church to sustain her. It is very un-American, I know. But remember, the Christian life is about the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of American values, specifically the I can do it all by myself, thank you very much, value. God made us to be dependent on one another and on him. Jesus sees our vulnerabilities as well as our arrogance. And when we know this, really know this, how seen we are by him, we give and we become faithful. So what if we give, not because it makes a difference to the budget, but because it makes a difference to us? And not as individuals, but as a body, as Christ's body, the church. Because I don't want us to be the church where good enough is good enough, with the low bar of low expectations. No, Christ gave his life for us. He gave his whole life as an outpouring of love. And this is the best news there is. And I hope that everyone who calls this church home would be moved to gratitude and joy and a desire to share not just two coins, not just large sums, but our whole lives as well. Next week when we come to church, we will have a time when we bring forward our pledges to support the church, our financial promises to support the work of the church. And we'll place them in a box here up front. And we do it this way, not to make a show of it, but because when we walk forward, when we come forward, we are bringing our whole self. And in this way, it is symbolic, and symbols are important. So as you contemplate your pledge to the church this week and discuss it with your family, remember, God has designed us to need each other. You need the church, and the church needs you. And God sees you, really sees you. And that's good news. Amen.